The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
It's just over a month to go before Team Ireland sets off to Tokyo for the World Athletics Championships. But this week marked the anniversary of an Irishman setting the first ever world record for the long jump. Now, to tell us more, we're joined by Off the Balls' Cameron Hill. Cameron, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
So who was he?
Peter O'Connor, born in England in 1871, but grew up with his family on a County Wicklow farm. He is 15 when he joins the fledgling GAA in 1886, then 2 years into its existence, and began to carve out a reputation as a fine long jumper. Also an ardent Republican. So when he's 29, he's invited by the British team to compete at the 1900 Olympics in Paris. He refuses the invitation. So he was... At the time, he was attempting to beat... There were world records before this official one. So Meyer Prinstein, who'll come up later in our story at the American, he had set the record in 1900. So O'Connor jumps 24 feet, 11 and 3/4 inches in Balls Bridge. It's the first officially recognised by the IAAF world record. It stands for 20 years. Jesse Owens goes and beats it in 1921. It was the Irish record for 89 years. So pretty tough to beat, it seemed.
Now, we want to talk about 1906 and what happened then, because there was a bit of a scandal.
He's a really interesting character. So he was part of this three strong team of athletes sent by the GAA and the Irish Amateur Athletics Association. A lot of A's in these acronyms today, to compete in the 1906 games in Athens. These were known as the Intercalated Games, designed to take place in Athens 2 years before a games in the Olympiad in each cycle. It was the only time these games were ever held, and they're no longer recognised by the IOC, so they don't technically count as Olympics. But O'Connor joins Con Leahy and John Daly in the three-strong Team Ireland going to Greece in green blazers and shamrock emblazoned caps. They had with them their Irish flag, the Éireann Gabhra flag with a golden harp shown on a green background. That's according to Irish Central. Now, there was a technicality that they couldn't compete as Irish because at the time Ireland didn't have a recognised Olympic council, so they were forced to compete under the British flag, which unsurprisingly none of them were too happy.
Not very
about.
Happy, given the Éireann Gabhra flag and all the rest of it. We know where their hearts lay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then the long jump was controversial because they got rid of a number of scrutineers and they allowed for one individual only to be the measurer, if you like, of the long jump. And that was a fellow called Matthew Halpin. Why was that controversial?
Because he was the manager of the American team. So he was up against Meyer Prinstein again for the gold medal. This really sounds like an absolute tin pot games. And the distances jumped, according to Irish Central, were announced by Halpin only at the end of the entire competition. So you had no idea how well you were doing midway through. And he declared his American athlete the victor. So,
and the Prinstein only jumped, I think, once or twice because he injured himself in so doing. O'Connor jumped six or seven times.
He didn't need to. It's quality, not quantity.
Yeah. Anyway, the winner was declared USA, and that was not to O'Connor's liking.
No, so he got silver, in fairness, but had to stand on the podium, as we mentioned, with the British flag overhead. And then an amazing thing happens. The story goes that he's brought the flag on with him onto the podium. The Éireann Gabhra flag, the Irish one. And he leapt onto the pole, given his fantastic jumping skills, held the Éireann Gabhra flag over the Union Jack, so he doesn't pull down the British flag, but he kind of just hoists it in front of it to kind of obscure it. His teammates standing guard at the base of the flagpole like it's some sort of heist. And it's the first time an Irish flag had been flown at an Olympics. I'm willing to bet it's one of the first times an Irish flag had been flown at a sports event generally. But he went on to win gold in the triple jump, but did not attempt the feat again.
Now, his descendants do remember fondly his feats.
Yeah, so he won a load of different silver medals as well. He won a couple of All-American titles, I believe, during his career, and made sure that his achievements could be enjoyed by his entire family. So here's a report from RTE back in 2001 with his great-granddaughter, Emily Jane Homan.
Well, four of his sisters were nuns, and interestingly, what he did with his silver medals was he had them made into chalices, and he presented these to his sisters who were nuns around the world. And in fact, I think those chalices are now far and wide today. We don't actually know where they are.
So they were made into chalices, and the missionaries got them, the nuns, and who knows where they are.
They're only silver, so he could just make them into chalices. Yeah. The gold ones he'll keep for himself.
Now, does he ever go back to the Olympics?
He does, as a long jump judge. So obviously he's still spurned by Matthew Halpin and his antics. He goes at the 1932 Games in Los Angeles and 1936 in Berlin. So he's judging Jesse Owens, the man who beat his world records 15 years later. And then set his sights on his law practice. And Peter O'Connor and Sons still operates in Waterford and Dublin to this very day.
My goodness, what a story. The 1906 sort of Olympics. Yeah. The pre-Olympics, if you like. Now, you want to also mention some long-standing records in Irish athletics, given how long Peter O'Connor's record stood.
Yeah, so we said 89 years. So I went back and had a look at the longest-standing senior records in Irish athletics. Most people know the Ray Flynn Mile, which was set in Oslo in 1982, 3:49.77, still standing as the mile record for men's. Interesting one was the senior women's. So the oldest record there is the shot put set by Maria Walton, now Maria Walton Lanigan, in Palo Alto on the 2nd of April 1983, just under 17 metres, 16.99.
Okay, and that still stands. Any other records you want to mention?
I just thought, I went and talked to Marita because we don't know too much. Like, there's so many high profile female athletes these days. But her story, when I dug down and spoke to her, it was really interesting. So she was a sprinter who took up shot put during her teenage years. Apparently, she's the first Irish woman to have received a sports scholarship to the US. Went to the University of Maryland in 1979. Was a six-time All-American in discus and shot put. US indoor champion in 82 and 83. She had set the indoor record in 1982 at Madison Square Garden. That's still the Irish record to this day as well. So she's got the indoor to her belt too. Six-time winner at the Penn Relays, that really famous meet in America, the largest track and field event in the world. And while she was there, because she had to use the gym, she trained alongside the UMD Terrapins football team. So it was the only women in a group of incredibly burly men towards the in the mid-80s. Tragedy strikes and kind of a short 18-year period where she's on course for a really big showing at the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles. In April of that year, she suffered a grade 3 hamstring tear in training, a big one, which derailed her progress. She couldn't recover in time for the Games. She also lost her scholarship that came to an end at that time, and her visa expired. So she was forced to return home. So she's one of the great what-ifs in Irish athletics.
Now, you were speaking to her.
Was, and she has some really interesting insights on. She was a PE teacher, now retired down in Loretto, Kilkenny. She feels that physical education in this country is failing children and thinks that athletics should really be taught at a very young age to give sort of foundational skills to young children so that they can go on and, you know, excel in whatever sport they choose and not just team sports. We don't have a great tradition of field athletes in Irish athletics. So this time last year, I was telling you about the Irish walruses, the likes of Martin Sheridan, who dominated field events in the Olympics in the early 1900s. And we have the likes of Nicola Tuthill and Eric Favors breaking through at the moment. We're still not particularly good. So I asked Marita why she thought that was the case, and here's what she had to say.
I think there's not enough coaches qualified to coach these events. When athletes go to clubs, like any athlete that had ability in school, I encouraged them to go to the Kilkenny City Harriers. You know, I had Joanne Cudahy in Loretto, Katrina Cudahy. I have the Richardsons, Aoife Hickey. All these girls all joined the Kilkenny City Harriers, where they had good coaching and a follow-on from what they got in their PE classes. I think that there's not enough technical coaches out there that are able to or have enough confidence to coach in the shot and discus. The PE teachers get a general training in athletics, but it's nothing like what you would need to kind of take an athlete and say, oh my God, you can actually throw this ball very far. You can either throw the discus, the javelin or the shot put and take it to the next level, because these events are so technical, Cameron. They're so technical and, you know, they're so lonely in a sense. You have to train a lot of time on your own. You have to go out in the middle of winter throwing a heavy steel ball into muck, dirt, you know, and pick it up and go back and repeat and repeat and repeat all this on your own. So unless you have parents who are invested in your event and in what you're doing, or a good coach and teacher who can actually spot your talent and bring you on, you're going to go through the cracks.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, did my wife know Marita? And she responded to me when I asked her just a moment. Yeah, knew her well. We used to travel on the bus together to compete. I used to do the high jump and she used to help me warm up. A fabulous lady.
Wow, there you go.
So there you go.
There you go.
Oh, what might have been if my wife had continued in the high jump.
Yeah, maybe she would have, yeah, trained with her. She
they used to do the scissors for the high jump before the Fosbury flop became
right.
The... Yeah.
Well, apparently, it's because Marita was telling me that she was a really accomplished sprinter, and I had no idea that that's a huge part of shot put, that if you have that kind of power in your legs, you can accomplish a lot. So really, it's just throwing that kids don't do enough of in school. We could have a lot more success.
So the idea basically is to give a foundation and then let the kid decide themselves what sport they'd like to pursue.
Yeah, basic calisthenics is the order of the day.
Very good. Cameron Hill from Off the Ball, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.